Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our ungeeky beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And I almost forgot the intro to that show.
We've done this how many times now? And you can't.
I know. But I just I forgot the part where I'm like, and my name is.
Who am
What's
I?
What's my name again? What's my name again? Anyway, today, in lieu of all the amazing superhero shows that have been coming out over the past couple of weeks. With fall season programming starting up and all these this and that and all these other things, we decided to talk about our live action superhero shows, starting from when we were kids and then kind of moving up to now.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, man. Yeah. And so, I mean, I think everyone at this point pretty much knows what yours is, but why don't you go ahead and start your first one?
Actually, so my first one. Okay, my first one, the first one I watched.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It would be the George Reeves Superman series is my first live action superhero show. Mm-hmm. And boy, do I love that show. I have such an attachment to that show still to this day. Got the DVDs, have seen every episode at least once, most of them more than once. But oh man. Yeah. Love that show. Cheesy, campy, ridiculous as it is, low budget, low production values, everything else. Still just have a very special place in my heart for that show. Really enjoy it.
Yeah, I really like the show. I didn't really grow up on it the way that you did.
Right.
My first exposure to it was when he guest starred on Lucy, which mm-hmm, we've talked about a couple episodes
That's right.
ago.
Yep.
And so, but I mean, it was for some reason it just wasn't in syndication around me.
Right.
Or where so I just it didn't it it doesn't hit me the same way.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. So, I mean, I've seen it and I like it. I mean, it's definitely a product of its time and whatever else.
Oh, yeah.
It was, you know, what, 52? So,
yeah.
You know, but I mean, it's charming in its own way. And it really does have this is Superman. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
this is a confident Clark Kent with,
yes.
You know, with a confident Superman.
Yes, that's the thing. So it's very much a product of its time, like you said. It's very true to the Silver Age Superman of the day. And yeah, I think maybe my favorite thing about it is that Clark Kent is such a strong. He's mild mannered, but he's not a wimp.
Right.
There's a
difference.
George Reeves chose to play it a different way than Christopher Reeve ultimately would. And Christopher Reeve, his version has sort of become the, you know, canonical version of Clark Kent. But I for me, because I grew
up... For some generations, arguably,
for many people,
might not be anymore.
Yeah, true.
We're so far removed from it now. But
yeah,
yes.
I think it still has an impact. But yeah, fair enough. I do think, for me, the George Reeves interpretation of just he's a capable reporter, it jives with everything that came before it in a lot of ways. If you listen to the old radio shows and the serials and everything, he was just a very capable reporter. He was charismatic. He was funny, mild-mannered, meaning he was, you know, not like a jerk. He was a nice guy, was really all that meant. But he was very actually. I once read a glowing review of George Reeves's Clark Kent, specifically his performance of Clark Kent, from the New York Times.
Really,
from 51, 52. It was actually a really fascinating read. It was just like a TV review, the same way you would have a review of a Broadway performance or something like. And he was very well reviewed in the New York Times for his Clark Kent specifically.
Wow.
Yeah. So I love that. And I love that. We'll probably mention this in a moment, but well, you know, I'll leave it. Why don't we talk about what your first show was?
My first one, no surprise, was the 66 Batman television show. Mm-hmm. Says so much about us. You know, just like,
all right.
What was your first live action on TV? Oh, mine was Superman. Oh, mine was Batman. Oh, obviously. Okay. Oh,
that explains so much about who the people who we became.
That's right. Just, yeah. It really, really, really does. Mine was the first one. The first exposure I really had to it was the movie, which I guess you could still count. But I remember watching Vincent Price's Egghead and the Mr. Freeze episodes and like all these whatever else, King Tut and all the weird ones, plus Joker, Penguin, Catwoman, Riddler, on and so forth. Yeah,
the several different Catwoman,
three.
Yep.
Well, Lee Merriweather was never on the show. She was only in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Julie Newmar had a scheduling conflict. She was in another movie. She's filming another movie at
the
time.
Is that why? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, she was Lee Merriweather was she was a judge in this year's Miss America pageant.
Lee Merriweather was?
Yeah, because she's still alive.
I didn't know that, yeah.
But she was Miss America. She won Miss America in 1950-something.
Yeah. I'm going to look that up.
That was why they brought her back. They had like every living Miss America. 1955 was her year. They brought back every living Miss America and they lined them up on stage and she was there and she was also a judge in this year's pageant. So that was interesting.
Wow. She's still a good looking lady.
She is. She absolutely is. Yeah.
Yeah. She aged very well. Good for her.
Yeah. But yeah, she was great. Eartha Kitt, another legendary actress.
Everything. Eartha Kitt was a legendary everything.
Everything. I think you mean singer too. Yeah. I mean, everything.
I'm a bigger fan of Eartha Kitt singing. I'm a bigger fan of her singing more than I am her Catwoman.
You know, I've actually never seen any of her episodes.
Oh, she's good. It's just like, it's, I don't know if it's, okay, this is going to sound weird, but in a campy show, it feels too campy. Like,
okay.
I don't know if it's just like she took the cat thing too far. I can't explain it. I haven't seen it for a while, so I may be way off base. I just remember not digging it the same way.
Like, took it further than like Lee Merriweather when she was literally like meowing at the camera in the movie.
Touche, sir. Touché.
I don't know. That's pretty far.
I forgot about that.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway.
Similar to what you said about Superman, I actually had not seen that show growing up because it wasn't in syndication where I grew up either. So I had seen the movie many, many times as a child. We've talked about this in just off mic in our private lives. Seen that movie many, many times, and I was very, very happy to buy it on Blu-ray as soon as it came out. But the show I never really watched growing up in syndication because it just wasn't available in syndication. It wasn't until a year ago when I moved to an area where it is now in syndication that I started watching episodes of the actual show. Mm-hmm. And now I've seen several. I have DVR'd them while I was at work and then watched them when I come home, doing other chores and stuff just to have on in the background. And they show both episodes of each two-parter.
It's back-to-back.
Back-to-back in the same day, yeah. But yeah, so my only exposure was the movie for many, many years, and now I've finally, watched a good number of episodes of the show, maybe about a season's worth. Mm-hmm. And which, when you look at how many seasons there were for that show, it's actually a pretty good chunk of the show. I it's campy, but it's like the movie. I thought the movie would feel different than the show did. But then watching the show, I was like, oh nope, this feels the same. It's the same look and feel. It's everything. Like, they literally just shot a long episode of the show and put it out as a movie. Like, that's literally all that happened.
Pretty much. The movie was supposed to introduce the show, and something happened where then it had to be in between seasons one and two. Going here and there and everywhere and all over the place.
And there was going to be another movie, right, between seasons two and three?
Yeah, there were, but interest in the show was already waning at that point. Right. And so, which is a shame, but
it's a shame, and it's kind of hard to believe when you look at how long it's endured in syndication.
Agreed. Well, yeah. You could even say, like, look at its episode count, but I mean, when you do two episodes a week for, it doesn't work the same way.
Seasons were just longer back then.
Yes, they were. Yeah, agreed.
I don't know why I know this in particular, but Leave It to Beaver had like 35 episode seasons. Like, it was ridiculous.
Oh.
Like, shows had long seasons back then.
That's a really long season. Yeah. Well, maybe it just took less time to, maybe it just took less post.
They just didn't, it's all, I mean, things have just changed today, and like the profit margins, and like, let's do a few episodes, but they can be higher, have higher budgets, and I don't know, it's just changed. And now we're kind of going more and more towards the British model of like 12 episode seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I digress. What was like sort of the next series you would consider influential to you in terms of live action superhero series?
Well, there's a couple. Do you want me to go like, do you want to go like moving up the timeline? Like okay, we had, sure. Because we pretty much are. Cause I mean, I'm going to talk about it for a second, but I don't really have much to say on it because it definitely wasn't in syndication when I was growing up. Was Linda Carter's Wonder Woman.
Same.
Was not. I've seen it, certainly. Same. But, you know, I didn't grow up with it. So I'm like, yeah, Linda Carter was Wonder Woman. It was set in World War II. It was cool and stuff. And then I'm done.
Yeah, I've seen like maybe three episodes of that. So I couldn't call it influential because I watched
it. It's still really not in syndication.
It's like, really not.
It and it's pops actually, up every so often, but not a lot.
It's kind of sad that it's not because Batman is definitely in syndication. Superman is still in syndication in some places, not as much. Mm-hmm. But Wonder Woman really is not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, it is a shame. Maybe that'll change when Batman v Superman : Dawn of Justice comes out.
Maybe.
But who knows? Who knows? But I'm going to move up the – I'm just going to move up the timeline since we're like – I'm stuck in the 70s right now.
Sure, yeah.
So before we get too far, one, I'm going to briefly say I've never seen the two Captain America TV movies.
Mm.
Which with he's got, have you ever seen pictures of those where he's got like the big motorcycle helmet?
Yeah, I've seen. Yeah, them. I just haven't.
I've seen parts that they are terrible. They I just look can't awful. Even. Yeah, but when I was a kid, my brother and I had this big Marvel encyclopedia. It had a big picture of Spider-Man on the front, and it kind of went up through all the ages. You know, so there's a gold, silver, bronze, modern, blah blah blah. And but in one of those pages, in a side article, they talked about Nicholas Hammond's Amazing Spider-Man television show. Yeah, from 77. Mm-hmm. And we used to call Blockbuster every week. Do you have it in? Do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it? Do you, do you, do you? And not that we have any understanding of how, like, that system works at that time. You know,
right. It's
like, you know, we just don't get random stuff. So I'm fairly confident the manager of that store ordered that movie because of us.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so we got it and there were two episodes on it and it was terrible. what a terrible show. Definitely budget restricted.
Yeah.
The most Spider-Man thing I ever remember him doing is like doing like a backwards flip up a beam and then like going up backwards, which was really really cool.
Sure.
But beyond that, he pretty much ran across the rooftops. Okay. It's almost like what a fan movie would be today.
Yeah, except sounds like seen it.
Better fan movies.
Oh, like, geez.
Yeah. And so
that's sad.
But on the flip side of that, I did watch a couple. Still wasn't in syndication, but I did watch a couple of The Incredible Hulks.
Oh, yes,
Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno. Did you watch that growing up?
Not growing up, but I've seen a couple episodes of it since, just like for my own edification. And that, you know, that is dated but enjoyable.
Dated but enjoyable. That's exactly how I feel about it. Though my first introduction to that was the television movies.
Yep.
Particularly the Trial of the Incredible Hulk because it had Daredevil in it.
Yes.
And that's why I was like, I need to watch the one with Daredevil. And he shows up and he's in a black like dancer's leotard. And like, that's it. And like, you're like, really? Really? You couldn't even have put two little like D's in the like on his chest. Like, why would have that been so hard? Like, you couldn't just sew those on. Like,
Well, you know, that was famously a backdoor pilot for a Daredevil show that never happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And, it, you know, thank God for Netflix now. Like, yeah. You know, I, you know, I swear to God, if they, if I turn on that television, the premiere of the show, let's say I'm a spoiler, let's say I'm spoiler free. There's like, I haven't seen any pictures, nothing. And I turn on that television and he's running around in a black leotard with no teeth. I'm going to flip. Like, I'm going to flip. Yeah. I will probably laugh more than anything, but I will definitely flip.
Is that
flip.
Live action, though?
What, the Daredevil show on Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, all leading into a Defenders show.
For some reason, I thought that was going to be animated. I didn't realize that was going to be live action.
No, okay. The...
Well, that just got a lot more exciting then.
How did you... know? Yeah, no, it would be on Disney if it was...
yeah, I guess so.
No, what's the shoot? You ever see Stardust?
No.
If you ever get a chance, it's a good movie, but, the lead in that, Charlie Cox, is playing Daredevil. He's really good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Rosario Dawson's in it though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, awesome.
Rosario and Vincent D'Onofrio is playing the Kingpin. I don't know if you know Vincent D'Onofrio. Your silence says no.
I don't.
He was, okay, this is probably not the greatest example, but he was the cockroach alien in Men in Black.
Oh, I'm looking at him right now. Yeah, I recognize his face. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Shaved
Men
his
in
head
Black.
Yep. He's great. Yeah.
Wow.
He's
really
a good actor.
If he puts on a few pounds, he'll be.
Actually, he's pretty big now.
Okay.
If you look at like a picture of him with his, if you go to IMDb.
I see it.
You see it? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. He doesn't need to put on a few pounds.
No, he doesn't. He's got the pounds. Okay. Yeah, wow. That's cool.
He's got the pounds.
Yeah.
He's okay.
I still miss Michael Clark Duncan as Kingpin.
But I just miss Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah, but, R.I.P.
Yeah.
But let's get back to TV, though.
Okay, but I can, since those getting, I don't want to say getting them out of the way, but
yeah.
Going into the 90s, because that's when we grew up,
yep.
I'm going to throw it out there. You can like it if you can keep it. If not, send it right back.
Oh, God.
The John Wesley Shipp Flash show.
Oh, okay. Seen it? I actually haven't seen it. And I'm actually really sad about that given the current Flash show that's on, but
which is amazing.
Yeah, and which has John Wesley Shipp.
Yeah, no, it just makes me so excited.
Yeah.
Maybe I was really happy when he got cast as the dad.
Yeah.
I was like, you're the Flash, and you're the Flash, and it's like a legacy character, but it's not. Yeah. But it is, but it's not. I remember watching the Blockbuster I went to growing up. Going back to Blockbuster,
yep.
It all goes back to Blockbuster. They had a video cassette of the pilot,
oh,
which was like an hour, maybe an hour plus. And so I remember renting that and watching that. And there, of course, there's no supervillains in it. And so when you're a kid, you're like, it looks cool, but why is the Flash just fighting a dude in a leather jacket?
Right. It's like in the same school as like the Superman series in a lot of ways, where you don't really have supervillains. It's like, I'm stopping bank robbers and crooks and gangsters.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And Mark Hamill as the trickster. Wait, what?
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, but that didn't happen until way later.
Right. I actually want to see the show for that alone, just for Mark Hamill alone.
It's like beta Joker.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like you can, like if you were like if Mark Hamill ever did a live action Joker, you can see it happening right there.
A couple of years before he did Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only reason the show didn't have great ratings, it had good ratings, but it started to decline and the show was just too expensive to keep up. And so they had to ditch it. But they did try to infuse the show with heroes as it went.
Yep.
I mean, Captain Cold was in it at one point. Mirror Master.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I'm almost positive that Reverse Flash, Professor Zoom, whatever you want to call him, was in the show. I have a distinct memory of him being like blue and silver instead for some reason.
Okay. Wow.
But he was definitely in it. But this is my favorite trivia from the show. Can you guess what famous chemist turned drug dealer was in that show?
chemist turned drug dealer.
If you don't get someone to slap you.
Wait. Oh, wait a second. Are you saying that Bryan Cranston was in it?
Yeah.
Okay. For a second, I was like, wait, do you mean like chemist turned drug dealer, like a villain who's a chemist?
No, sorry.
Okay, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
No, that's fine.
It was a little too ambiguous. God,
Bryan Cranston, really? Okay, yeah. He was in everything, man.
I know. Even then, in 1991, he was in everything.
Yeah, he's been so much.
He played some guy, I think Philip Moses or something like that. But yeah, he was a one and done. Like, I'm in the show, I'm not in the show. And it was cool. Yeah. But anyway, let's move on. Just, I don't know. Did you know The Flash was the Trickster was a TV movie? I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. The Trickster one was a TV movie. It was not part of the regular series.
Got it.
But anyway, I know you want to talk about it. So we're going to talk about it. Let's talk about Lois and Clark. Yes. Good.
Lois and Clark.
Let's go.
New Adventures of Superman. So,
yes. The best part of this show, Lex Luthor's hair.
His curly, curly mane.
His curly, curly mane. Josh. I remember watching a producer interview, and when they were casting John Shea as Lex Luthor, and they were like, he just came in and he was so good, but he's not bald. And the producer's like, well, Lex Luthor's really rich and smart. He probably would have found a way to get his hair back. So,
right. like, forget it.
Yeah.
It's the 90s.
Now. Yeah.
It's the 90s.
Yeah.
I remember watching this show when I was a kid, but not really picking up on much of it.
I mean, all the sexual innuendo?
Oh, well, definitely none of that. But I didn't understand why my parents didn't want me to watch it. But they were like, no, you can't watch this anymore. And I was like, I don't understand. It's Superman. What's wrong with this?
Yeah, so, you know why I didn't get it either.
Yeah,
I did not understand.
Of course not. But yes, yeah, so they were uneasy about me watching it. But I remember a couple episodes. I remember actually, you know what it is? I don't remember right off the top of my head. But then when I go back and watch, especially season 1, because I think I got through most of season 1 before my parents disallowed me from watching it.
It's the best season of the show.
It is bar none, hands down, the best season of the show. But I remember lots of moments when I watch it. I'm like, oh, I do remember that and that and that and that, because I was like 7 when the show started.
It was 93. Yeah.
Oh, so no, then I was like 4.
Yeah.
But, it ended in 97. I was 8 when it ended.
I was 7.
No. You were 7. I was 4 when it started, but I was but enough to remember a lot, and I had a couple episodes on tape too, which helps. But what I was going to say was, what I really love about this show is Dean Cain.
Period.
Well, Dean Cain, period. Yeah, really. Yeah. I love that this was very much in the era, you know, this show came out, started in 93. We were still in the shadow of Christopher Reeve.
Mm-hmm.
Superman 4 had only come out 6 years earlier.
Right.
Very much still could be in people's minds. And yet he took Clark Kent in a different direction. He actually went back sort of to basics and made him a very capable, smart, clever, confident, not a shy, bumbling reporter, but a very capable reporter. I love that he went that route.
Yep, and I agree.
And, you know, I give him credit. It was lots of things. It was Deborah Joy Levine, who was the, you know, showrunner, too. But,
yeah.
But still.
The show was called Lois and Clark. It's The New Adventures of Superman.
Superman's
the afterthought in the show.
Well, yes, absolutely. Correct. It was Lois and Clark. But it was also The New Adventures of Superman.
And right.
The George Reeves show was The Adventures of Superman. So I've always felt that this show was sort of a spiritual heir to that show.
Never even connected that in my brain before.
That's awesome. The New Adventures of Superman. It's like, for me, this show is The Adventures of Superman, the George Reeves 50s series retold in the 90s. That's what it is for me.
Okay.
We told in the 90s with more of like the supervillains, more of the comic book characters, and less of like the, see, I'm a gangster, see? And if you don't give me all the, whatever. Like, stupid.
There's still a lot of that, though.
There is. There absolutely is. But there's a lot more of the, like, we're going to get, you know, Mixa Spidolik in here, and we're going to get Toymaster in here, and yeah, Metallo, and like, yeah, all.
And I would say, do you remember the Deathstroke episode?
No, actually.
That's because, okay, this is, that's because their version of Deathstroke in the show was Magneto.
Oh.
He had like magnet powers. And I just, I never, to this day, I still don't understand. Like, why would you just, why can't you just create your own with the, use a different name?
Yeah.
Why would you take one of the greatest villains in the DC universe and turn him into your Magneto knockoff?
Stupid. Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? When you're dealing with these, they were trying, they were, this was still during a time when they were trying to make things very accessible to a broad audience, and they didn't know what they were doing in a lot of cases.
Agreed.
And later seasons, they really didn't know what they were doing. And by season four, I don't even know. It's like not even the same show anymore. I don't.
Well, that's actually the Deathstroke was season four.
Okay, but I mean, there like, you go.
I remember season three was all about Star Trek hype.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even like the Kryptonian ships, you like they show them, you're like, are you on the Enterprise?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah.
Like,
do you think that was, I don't know this at all, but I wonder if anything, like if that had anything to do with like Star Trek and like Next Generation envy or anything like that.
No, it did. I remember watching stuff about it, and it was like it's flat out like riding the Star Trek hype.
Like Moonraker was like, oh, we need a James Bond movie that looks like Star Wars.
It's in space. Yes, it's exactly what it is.
Got it.
Yeah. And that stuff always suffers when they do.
Well, it's not done for the right reasons.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I do enjoy the show very, very much, as cheesy and 90s as it is. And if you watch it, it doesn't entirely hold up. But if you lived in the 90s at all, if you remember the 90s at all, you can kind of put yourself in that place where it's like, it's funny because it's outdated.
Yep, I agree. Though I do still say that the pilot of that show is still one of the best pilots of any show I've ever seen.
It's a damn good pilot.
It is a damn good pilot. Probably one of the best episodes of the show, period.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, like, sounds bad for the show, but it's not how I mean it. It's just,
yeah,
it's just a really well-crafted pilot. They put a lot of thought into it. I do still say Lane Smith's Perry White is still my favorite Perry White.
Great
to this
Shades
day.
Of Elvis.
Oh, that's my favorite. Ugh.
I love Lane Smith. I was so sad when he passed away a few years ago.
It was really sad.
It was very sad. I really, really have a very special place in my heart for Lane Smith.
Yep, I do too.
Oh, man.
Yep. Oh, he was the best. But anyway, let's speaking of John Shea, I'm just going to give it a brief mention. Did you ever watch Mutant X?
No.
Okay. It was a show that was supposed to be X-Men, but they didn't have the rights, so they had to like change it. But it was basically X-Men. But John Shea was in it, and I didn't watch too much of it. It was basically like New Mutants-y type situation with like the young hot people. They have their powers. The geneticist is searching for his creations and the government is shady and like stuff like that. It's not a well-loved or well-remembered show, but I do remember that John Shea was in it.
Nice.
Yeah. I remember seeing commercials and being like, hey, Lex Luthor. And that's about it. So we're starting to get into what I know was going to be a long topic of conversation, but I'm going to skip it for now. And I know you know what I'm talking about, because I want to talk about Birds of Prey for a second.
Oh yeah, okay, go for it.
Okay, this show was terrible. I'm done now. Okay, no, this show is awful. I remember watching the commercials to the show going, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
This is going to be terrible. Batman does not abandon. Okay. If you don't know, the show was only on for 13 episodes because it did so poorly.
Yeah.
And the idea is that Batman and Catwoman had a child together. Her name was Helena. And Catwoman is murdered and Batman like runs away from Gotham. Basically. He just like pieces out, bye. And so Barbara Gordon, who is paralyzed by the Joker, like forms this team of, you know, other girls, including Catwoman's daughter and Batman's daughter, Helena, and they have they're the Birds of Prey. If Batman was in the city and never seen, I'd have been happy.
Mm.
But the fact that like he ran away still to this day bothers me. It's what bothers me about Dark Knight Rises.
Right.
It bothers me about just like he doesn't like if he's going to retire, then make him retire. But don't let him run away.
Sure.
Like that. Those are two different things.
Yep. I get that. I do. I completely understand that. It. Yeah. Here's the funny thing. The way you just described that show makes it sound great.
Yeah, I know. But that's because I'm a flamboyant storyteller.
Maybe so. You are a good storyteller. But I mean, just the very concept. It's like, all right, you've got like Black Canary, Oracle, and Huntress. Like, that sounds like an awesome idea for a show.
Except Black Canary was a, like, teenager telepath instead of anything like the Black Canary that you would know.
Right. But, okay, fair enough. But
yeah.
I'm just saying, the idea is, like, Batman has a daughter. Like,
yeah,
the person who would be Batgirl is you know, like, calling the shots, running the show. Like, it sounds like a cool concept
yeah,
for a
Alfred
show.
Yeah, Alfred was in it. Their arch nemesis was Harley Quinn.
Honestly, like, it should have worked.
Clayface was on the show towards the end. Like, yeah, technically, it should have worked.
Should have worked.
Like, Lady Shiva was in it at one point. It was poorly written. It didn't have the best budget.
It was on the WB.
It was on the WB, which at the time was suffering from, I'm going to say it, don't hurt me, early Smallville syndrome.
No,
because it was technically like it was hyping on the success of Smallville.
Yeah, it came out during Smallville season 2.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was kind of like it was working off of that success, which I'm a big advocate for Smallville's later seasons, but I don't like Freak of the Week style shows. I like continuing story threads.
I don't disagree with you at all.
Yeah. And I think, but we'll, before we talk about Smallville, cause I know we both have a lot to say about it.
Yes.
I want to give another shout out to the 97 series Nightman. Did you ever watch this show?
Oh no, I never did.
Oh my God. My brother and I used to watch this all the time. This show was terrible. Like it was about a saxophonist that gets struck by lightning and now he can sense evil.
God, it sounds so bad.
Oh, it's so bad. But he had like this like super futuristic suit that allowed him to fly and see in the dark. And yeah. I remember he had like a holographic projector image of himself. So like when he had to go fight crime, he would, I don't know why I said fight crime like that. Fight crime. Yeah. But when he had to go fight crime, he would like turn on the holographic image of himself playing the saxophone. So he would like be on the stage playing. Oh, this show was terrible. But the costume was kind of cool. All right. For the 90s, it was so typical 90s. Another shout out, The Tick. Great show.
Which is coming back.
And yes, it is coming back. I am very excited
about
that.
I'm so excited to see Patrick Warburton as The Tick again.
Again. That show, it was really well done. It had a lot going for it. It was also an expensive show to keep up.
I want Nestor Carbonell to come back. Now that he's been the mayor of Gotham, I want him to come back and be in this show.
I agree. He was a good Batman well too. That's what I always thought was funny about him being the mayor of Gotham. Like you're the Batman parody. It was good. Okay. So two final shout outs. Blade the series.
Yes.
Which was pretty good. It wasn't great, but it was pretty good. I kind of wish that it had more legs to it.
Mm.
And then Witchblade the series on TNT.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of took all the Witchblade out of Witchblade, but it's okay. And that's, I mean, besides the modern shows that we have now that are out right now,
Arrow,
that
thus
sends my thing, except for
Flash,
Arrow, Gotham, Flash, Constantine,
yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Arguably not a superhero show, comic book show.
It's set in the Marvel universe. It's set in the Marvel universe. It has had its heroes float in and out. Jeremy Renner has even expressed interest in like coming to be Hawkeye on the show.
That would be cool.
Multiple times. That'd so, be cool.
But anyway,
Let's talk about Smallville.
All right. Let's talk about Smallville briefly in our last few minutes here. I think Smallville deserves its own episode of Beer with Geeks at some point.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Maybe even a couple, but, let's talk about it and give a little teaser. Ooh. Huge Smallville fan. I'll tease you. Huge Smallville fan. I, ooh, it was actually a slow burn for me to get into it, though, because I came off for many years. I didn't want to like acknowledge anything Superman that wasn't like the Fleischer cartoons or the George Reeves series, or like, sure, like, that was kind of it. Like, I really was very, very much a purist. I've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. We both talked about how we're like, no, yeah, it should be this way and that's it, and I don't want to accept anything else. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, what? No, what? He can't like be meeting all these characters when he's a teenager, and he can't be like, what? No, that wouldn't happen. Because I just wasn't open to the idea of like, maybe there's multiple versions of the story and that's okay, and your story still exists, even if you don't like this one. So I got into this show in season six, caught up quickly on all the previous seasons, and became like the poster. Well, I don't know about that, but I was a huge, huge Smallville fan. Let's put it that way. And I still am. Have bought all the DVDs twice, literally.
Did you really buy? Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
I had an incident where my 10 seasons went away, and I ended up buying the 10 season box set to replace them. And so I literally purchased them twice.
Yep.
And had no problem doing that because I just love this show so much, and the rewatch value for me is so high. And you know, I agree to an extent with what you said about the early seasons. You know, Freak of the Week stuff. It's not really the best storytelling possible, for sure. But I still have a nostalgia for those early seasons just because that was when I came to love this show.
Oh, yeah. No, I absolutely agree with you.
Like season three, I think, is still my favorite season. And that was still very much in Freak of the Week territory. In terms of
season three, the one with the epic ending.
Yes.
That is one of the best finales to that whole show, but one of the best finales to any show I've seen in these categories.
There is Mozart music playing in the background. Everyone is looking like they're dying. Like, it's amazing. It's amazing. There's explosions. There's people getting poisoned. There's like all this chaos. It looks like everyone's going to die, and it's all happening in slow motion with Mozart playing in the background. And just thinking about it makes me want to watch it. I'm sorry. But you were quite a big Smallville fan as well.
I was. I was pretty much a fan from day one, because, I mean, when the show came out 2001, I was 14. I was supposed to be his age, I'm definitely not Tom Welling's age, but but I was supposed to be his age. I remember watching the show. I remember watching the first episode. I was like, he did a good job, but he's definitely not 14.
Right. He was like 22.
Yeah, but it's funny. But if you go and watch like season, let's say you watch season 10 and then you go all the way back and watch season one again, you look at him and go, you could be 14.
Well, yeah. Like, you look back, you're like, well, he's so baby faced.
Yeah.
But still, there's no way he's 14. Like, he's ripped already. He's like, there's no way.
I know some 14 year olds that are pretty, they do look a lot older for their for their age.
But
you know, like the football player, you know, type, you know, whatever. But still, he definitely did not look 14.
We should just mention that Tim works in a school. That's why he knows 14-year-olds.
I have mentioned this before, but thank
I know,
you for saying,
but I just feel like I should mention that so no one thinks there's something weird going on there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for not thinking I'm weird. Well, for a different reason than I lost my train of thought. No, I didn't care originally for, like you said, like, how could you be meeting all these people so soon? This is stupid, blah, blah, blah. But now I'm in a different phase of my comic fandom where I'm like, yeah, alternate versions, let's go.
Right, me too.
Show me new things.
I'm all for it now.
I'm all for it. As long as I sit down and watch this and I go, I know who that character is. I recognize that character. You're being true to who that is.
Sure.
I'm good. Sure. And they were always consistently true to who Clark was.
Yes.
And hands down, the Kents on that show were the best Kents anywhere.
Jonathan Kent, best thing ever. Like, possibly the best thing about that entire show.
Yeah. John Schneider, greatest thing ever. We've both met John Schneider. He is an amazing person.
Mm-hmm. He was a great guy. He was the nicest guy. He was something else. But I adore Smallville, and I really think we should take some time. I do love it, but I have a lot of thoughts on things that I don't like about it too, and in specific episodes and beats and plot points and things. I think it does merit its own episode or two of this podcast just because we are such big fans of it. And I think a lot of our listeners are pretty big fans of it too, from what I know, from people I've talked to. So I would like to cover it at some point.
Oh, good. Then let's not say anything more. Let's not about give it all now. Away. No. So final thoughts. The new shows that are out now, just what's your take on them?
Arrow took me a little while to get into. First half of season one, I wasn't really on board, but back half of season one and then everything since, I'm way, way in. The Flash looks amazing so far. I think it is the most just like balls to the wall. Let's do this. Let's do a superhero TV show. Everything, mm-hmm. costumes, like villains, everything. It's the most just full on superhero show I've seen in like a decade.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of a new live action show, Gotham, I also think has been very, very cool to see all like the, oh, I know that character and that too, and oh, okay. I think the dialogue feels like it's straight out of like the 50s.
Yeah, but I think that's the kind of there's something to the style of that show that plays to that. You know, it's this healthy mix between comics, Nolan and Burton.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, it's very stylized. So that's kind of why I've given it a pass.
Yeah. Although, so I do really enjoy some of the dialogue. There's an episode, I think it's episode 3, in which Harvey Bullock shows up with a coffee in his hand, and his first thing he says to Gordon is, "I got you one too, but I dropped it."
Yes,
like, that's like, "I got you a coffee, but I dropped it."
Yeah.
And so I'm really enjoying Gotham for pretty much the same reasons, but like different takes, you know. But I think it's really well cast, and I think that's what's drawing me in more than anything. Where I say I recognize that character, I'm like, "You're really good at playing that character, the one that I love." Flash, it's been great so far. Let's hope it just continues on that upward path, you know, flashing forward. And then Arrow, I was in day one. I was there. I watched that first episode and I was like, yes, this show is great. Everyone needs to watch the show. And we're 3 years in, and now a lot more people are watching the show than when I first started watching it. And people are saying the same thing. It's just, it is, I do find it actually a topic of conversation at work. That's how good, that's how well it's gone and done for itself. And I want to give a brief shout out to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That got a lot better after Winter Soldier came out.
So much better.
So much better. It's kind of slipping back into what it was before, sadly. It's like that, you know, mission of the week.
Well, when Age of Ultron comes out, I have a feeling it's going to get better.
Yeah, but that we go through a whole season of this show before Ultron gets hit. So, but you know, who knows if it makes it that far. But any final thoughts?
Ditto to everything you just said.
Oh, that's fabulous then. Okay.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Tim. Tim, what do we want to remind our lovely listeners about?
We would love to remind our lovely listeners about, if you would be so kind, if you enjoy us and we enjoy you and there's a mutual enjoyment going on, we would love it if you could rate us on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating if you are so inclined. That would be great. If you like 4, that's cool too, but we love 5s. We're all about 5s here, high fives and all that. And so we would love some ratings would be great. Get our name out there into the community. We would love more listeners. Tell your friends. It would be cool. Topic of conversation around the water cooler. You can also tweet at us at Beer with Geeks or email us at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com if you'd like to enter some kind of fun correspondence with us. We do take carrier pigeons, but we can't give you our addresses, and so they might get lost.
That's true. We also have a Facebook page now.
We do have a Facebook page. Actually, it's facebook.com/beerwithgeeks. Yeah. And so you can find us, like us there. Send us out to your friends. The Facebook page is really more than anything meant for, you know, episode promotion. But you never know how things might turn the tide, and you want to be the first one on there. So go ahead and like us.
I have some thoughts about things we can do with the Facebook page. So you might want to check it out, because there might be some fun things happening there.
I'm going to check it out right now.
Oh my God. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time. Cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.